The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself. Now, today I'm going to do something that I've never done before. My message will be in two parts. You know what Romans 10:17 says? It says, faith comes from hearing. And what is heard comes from the Word of God. So we're going to do something this morning. I've got a little sound bite where we're going to listen to the pure reading of Scripture. And it's read so very well by John Piper. I've actually taken away the video part of this bit because I don't want us to be distracted by looking at the person, but just hearing. It's a combination of many texts read very well. And I want us to listen to it. But before that, I just would request, if you have a mobile phone, please switch it off. If you have a mobile phone that needs to be on, please turn it on silent. If you need to answer your phone, please answer it outside the building. This is purely in respect for God's Word as we listen to it this morning. It is to avoid any form of distraction to yourself and also to your fellow believer. Let's listen to John Piper reading the Scriptures. Thank you.
Pray. Father, my simple prayer is that Bethlehem, these many people, would taste and see that your word is more precious than gold, even much fine gold, and that it is sweeter than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and in everything he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So preserve me, O God. But you are my God. You are the Lord. These are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their libations of blood I will not pour out, nor take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices, and my body also dwells secure. For You do not give up Your godly one to see the pit. You have shown me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice. He made known His ways to Moses and His deeds to the peoples of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. You have put your throne in the heavens, and your kingdom rules over all. Oh, bless the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, all these ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained access into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing the suffering works patience, and patience works approvingness, and approvingness works hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, for a good man, one might dare to die. Scarcely will one die for a righteous man. But God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who walk according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who walk according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The mind that is set on the flesh is death. And the mind that is set on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind of the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the one, the Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit that dwells in you. So brothers, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. To live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He has not given us a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. He has given us the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. And when we do that, the Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if we suffer with Him, in order that we might be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the whole creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of Him who subjected it, in hope that the whole creation will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together like pains of childbirth, and not the creation only, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, even we also groan, waiting our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. In that hope, we were saved. And who hopes for what he sees? But if you hope for what you do not see, you wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For we know all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He predestined, He called. And those whom He called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He glorified. What are we going to say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how shall He not freely with Him give us all things? Who's going to bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's going to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, who was raised from the dead, yes, who is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, I tell you, Don't be anxious about your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink or about your body, what you shall put on. Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than the birds? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil or spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? All the Gentiles seek these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek his kingdom first. And his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be anxious for itself. Every day's got enough trouble of its own. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and deliver my body to be burned and do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices together with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecy, it will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For now we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, we see in a mirror, dimly. Then, face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. The greatest of these is love. Amen.
It was a pure reading of Scripture. No man's words in the way. Amen. Father, bless that word we just heard to us. Lord, that we may never sell ourselves short, Lord, when it comes to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. My second part of the sermon this morning is to bring an exhortation. Why the Holy Scriptures? What is the purpose of the Holy Scriptures? I just have a text from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 through to 17. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired of God, and it is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness. Timothy is challenged by Paul here to maintain a close relationship to the Word of God. Paul tells him of the benefits that come from such a close relationship. He is reminded that it is the Scriptures that has taught him what he knows about God. It is the Word of God that has fed him and led him to the point in his life. Verse 14 and 15 states or implies that it is the Scriptures that is the foundation in making him the man he was that God wanted him to be. Folks, we need, I need, you need, we need for Scriptures to be number one, a number one priority in our lives. If you're going to be the person God wants us to be, there is no shortcut. And I preach this to myself as well, because I can get busy in ministry and doing all kinds of other activities. But there is no shortcut. I need it and you need it too. We need to have and maintain a close relationship with the Scriptures. And if we neglect this vital source of God's provision, we do it at our peril. One of the criticisms of the Bible is that it's a rule book. People do not like the idea that the Word of God tells them how to live their lives. But it is the guidelines for living that are found in the Bible that enable us to live our lives to the full and to honor God and glorify God in our lives. Amen? In all my 35 years as a Christian, a follower of Christ, I have never felt restricted by the Bible, by the Word of God. This Bible, folks, has sustained me. It has kept me on the straight and narrow when I was a young man. There was never a time in my life I felt, oh my, the Bible is so restrictive. In fact, it liberated me. It did create a freedom for me to live in absolute freedom following God. And I could never have it in any other way. This Word has sustained and will sustain me till the time I'm ready to go home, basically. It has been my guardrail to prevent me from walking left or right, but stay focused. Jesus said that keeping His commandments was the tangible evidence that we really love Him. That's chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 John 5:3 says this, "For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Amen? It's not burdensome. It's freeing. It's liberating. People get hung up with all the do's and the don'ts in life. Folks, don't get hung up. Here is a key that I have followed in my life. If we do or spend all our time doing the do's, then we won't have any energy and time to do the don'ts. Amen? If we concentrate on doing the do's, we will have victory. And we won't have time to do the don'ts. The Bible identifies itself through several clear metaphors and symbols. And these serve as a purpose for helping us understand what the Bible is all about and what it wants from our lives. I'll just give you a few this morning very quickly and briefly. Firstly, James 1 verse 23 to 25 talks about the Word of God being a mirror. And it says, for if any are hearers of the Word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act on the Word of God, they will be blessed in their doing. Promise from God. They, not may, they will be blessed in their doing. This text states that when we do what God's Word says, it liberates us. It does not enslave us. It sets us free. It sets us free from the bondage of legalism and frees us to keep its precepts with an inward compulsion. Not an outward set of rules and regulation, but inward compulsion, wanting to do the things that God wants me to do in His Word. The next one is seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, and you have been born anew, not of perishable but imperishable seed, to the living and enduring Word of God. The new birth, folks, brings an inner purity which manifests in love for our fellow believers. For love for God, firstly, of course, and love for one another. Next one, it says, relates the Word of God to water. In Ephesians 5:25-27, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the Word, so as to present the church to Himself in splendor without a spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. The emphasis in this text is not on the husband's authority to govern, but his responsibility to love his wife. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Nowhere in the New Testament will you find Christ's self-sacrificing love applied more directly to a specific relationship as a pattern to be emulated by us husbands. These verses put so much demand upon the Christian husband that it is impossible to see how a charge of male chauvinism could justly be made against the Bible, or a license to exploit and treat women or wives badly can be claimed from such a text. In fact, if a man treats his wife disrespectfully, it can be questioned. The next metaphor is the lamp. And there are many more symbols, but today I'm not going to preach to you. I'm just as an exhortation. It says the Word of God is compared to a hammer, a fire, bread, milk, honey, and many more. Maybe next week when I preach again, I may pick up on the subject or some other time. But Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandments is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproof of discipline are the ways of your life, Lord. Such a beautiful verse. God's word, his written word, our Bible, says the word is a lamp unto my feet. In the Old Testament days, before we had power and electricity, they used to tie their lamps on their ankles, on each ankle. And as they walked, the lamp just provided some light for them, maybe one step, maybe two steps, not 5 and 10 and 20 steps. So it says, your lamp, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Such a beautiful picture. Why is it such a beautiful picture? It doesn't say your lamp is a light or a headlight where you could see in the future, but it says it's a lamp. The lamp that lights our way. And then in Proverbs it says it's a light. The word is a lamp and a light of our lives. If we are not intently reading the Word of God or listening to the Word of God, the light in us will start to fade and we will quickly find ourselves stumbling around in darkness. You put those lights of the lamps out, and what will happen is instead of you walking a straight path, you kind of walk right and walk left. Imagine doing that in a village, say for instance in India, where there's absolutely no light at all. Possibilities you'll fall into a ditch and hurt yourself. So it's quite important to keep the Word of God at the forefront in our lives. Let me try and end here. I thank God every day for His Word. Even though I'm a Christian for 35 years, my prayer every day to God is, give me a hunger for Your Word, Lord. Give me a hunger for prayer that I would never assume or presume and take it for granted. That should be our prayer every day of our lives. We should read this Word as though we got it yesterday. God has given us His inspired, His infallible, inherent record of Himself, all here, cover to cover. We don't have to go outside this to find any sort of secret or mystic to life. Everything is in that book. His will, His ways are all in here. Maybe take this blessed book seriously. Maybe love it, cherish it, read it, meditate upon it, share from it. Let us carry it in our hearts, assuring ourselves in the fact that this is the only truth that there is in the world today. Everything else, folks, is but lies. This is the only truth we have. It's a privilege. Assuring ourselves that if we read and obey, it will develop us. It will lead us. It will teach us. Today to the day we get to heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word this morning. May we never, Lord, treat this book as an optional extra. But we would love it. Lord, we would read it. We would listen to it, Lord, like we did this morning. None of us here, Lord, are without excuse, because we have so many opportunities to hear the Word of God through this internet age. Easily available. A few clicks, Lord, on our phone, and we can get the Word of God and we could listen to it. May this Word, Lord, always be number one priority in our lives. May we learn to, Lord, avoid all the distractions that would come into our lives that would prevent us from reading it, prevent us from listening to it. Give us a hunger, Lord. A hunger. Make us, Lord, dissatisfied when we don't read Your Word and we don't listen, Lord. May this bring the only satisfaction we need in life. Your precious Word. I bless the people here this morning in Jesus' name. I bless those who are not here, Lord, that they too would realize the importance of Your precious Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.